Good afternoon, and happy Sabbath, Seattle congregation. We're all back from the Feast of Tabernacles, a time of lots of joy and remembering the coming life. But now here we are back at home, and we're wondering, perhaps, okay, now what? This has been a tough year, but we still have hope, and that's what we celebrated this Feast of Tabernacles. I'd like to start over in John chapter 14. Let your heart not be troubled. Believe, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, I would have told you. I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Christ has left us for a time, but he is preparing us for us a house, a place that will be a strong shelter to all those who live within it. And it will keep all sin out of it. It will be like the rains and storms that the sinful world has. It will be blocked at the walls of God's kingdom. But that time is not yet, because today we are living within a wilderness, as our father Abraham did. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham believed in these promises, and he showed his belief, even as a sojourner in a land that was not his own. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham dug a well, and then he planted a tree by this well. Why would someone plant a well in a land that was not theirs? And why would they plant a tree that they would never see to be grown, or had no hope of their descendants seeing to grow after them? But Abraham did both of these, and he believed that this land would be it would be the land of his descendants. And so he acted in faith, knowing that God's promises were true. Now, there's one time when I was walking in Austin, Texas, in this beautiful neighborhood with all of these big mansions that were very strong and established. And I was looking at these mansions and I was thinking to myself, is it God's will that his people live in places like this? Or is it his will that his people live in smaller, more humble abodes? And it occurred to me, the way God wrote his law and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, he gave it in a way that these descendants, if they followed the laws, they would inherit the good things. And they would have large and established houses. See, God gave each family a plot of land. And each family, a father loved his children, he would make improvements to the land that perhaps he would never even see. Perhaps he would plant an orchard or a vineyard, or he would expand the house outward, and maybe he would see the beginnings of the prophet that he was creating for his children and his children's children, but he would never see it in its entirety. But after many generations, you would have this beautiful established estate with a nice large house and with old vineyards and old orchards that were produced the best fruits. And this is what God had in mind for Abraham's descendants when they received the promised land. But it came through honoring the generations before them and it came through abiding and living within God's laws. Also, in Austin, Texas, in my aunt and uncle's house, there is a family tree. It's a big one, like 4 feet wide, maybe 6 feet tall. I'm not sure exactly. But it starts all the way down with Richard Lippincott, who was the first Lippincott to come to the United States. And it branches off to Freedom Lippincott, and then it continues branching and branching and branching. And it gets, as it gets further and further out, that's where I would be on the tree had they kept it going. I'd be one of these, the smallest of these branches on a big family tree. And that is, I've come to realize this is like a beautiful representation of how God is growing families on this earth, and it is how He is growing His family. I love looking at this tree and remembering that my life is not just an independent thing, that I came from a series of successive generations. And it is from all of the work and perhaps the things that they did in their lives that brought me to where I am right now. And it is one of the commandments that God provided to us, that to honor our mother and father, that our days may be long. And it is, in essence, the honoring our mother and father is recognizing that we didn't come from nowhere. And by connecting ourselves to this, we are connecting ourselves to this bigger familial tree. And in all honesty, the more I have thought about it, the more I realize, like, my mom and dad, they not just gave me physical life, but they also are the ones who taught me language and words. As a baby, I didn't know any of that, but by them speaking to me, I learned how to speak. And not only that, it was even the emotions on their faces. As a baby, I would learn how to recognize and understand emotions. And so it was through my parents that I was able to connect to this bigger world. And without them, I would not have been able to connect to anything. I would not have life or the ability to continue on life in any way. So it is through honoring my mother and father and their mother and father before them that I am able to stay connected and recognize that the blessings, the things that I have inherited, they didn't come from nowhere, but they came from this tree that just kept growing and growing, and I am part of it. And the thing is, I just described the Lippincott family tree, but there are trees that are much greater and mightier than these. In fact, God talks about remembering our father Abraham. In Isaiah 51, God spoke through Isaiah the prophet, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you are hewn and the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him, increased him." And so the more we partake of Abraham's tree, the more that we look to him as our father and Sarah our mother, the more that we honor them, the more we inherit the blessings that God gave to Abraham and promised to him. But even more so than this, I would like to point out that there is more than just physical trees that continue on from generations. There is spiritual trees. And Paul, he talked about there was a first Adam, but then there was a second spiritual Adam. Jesus Christ, that second spiritual Adam, became the base, the trunk of a new tree from the roots of Jesse. Another prophecy says that Christ grew up. And it is those who partake in this tree that they will inherit eternal life. In John chapter 15, we read from Jesus and his words. He tells us that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. I mentioned it was by my parents speaking to me that I learned how to understand English in the first place. And it is through God's spoken word that we understand a more spiritual language. And Christ goes on and tells us, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me, in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And it is through abiding in this tree connected to Christ that we are able to bear fruits and abide within him. And one day, Christ will receive a beautiful bride, his church, to him. And the two of them will abide together within the house that Christ has prepared for this bride. And Christ will keep her safe, protect her, and the two of them will increase and multiply forever and ever. And it is through those who honor their mother and father, Christ and the church, if they honor them, then they will inherit eternal life. And it is, if they connect to this tree, then they will be given this life that just grows in an everlasting way. And even in Revelation chapter 22, we read about this beautiful tree and how it flows from the throne of God. You showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so right now we are wandering through this wilderness. We have not received the promises of Abraham, which he saw afar off. But like Abraham, we can believe in these promises. We can take actions that show that we believe that they are coming. Just as Abraham dug a well and planted a tree, we can be seeking after this next life and remembering that God is preparing a good thing for us. And we will one day dwell with him in his strong house through abiding in his love and connecting ourselves to the tree which he has provided.